What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Welcome again to Calvary Chapel of Lake Forest. Thank you for joining our Sunday morning service. Our text today is John 5, verses 19 to 24. If you want to get your Bibles ready, John 5, 19 to 24. And the message is, who is Jesus? An appropriate song we sang today. I first wanted to read Psalm 113 to you today, to just praise the Lord. Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat them with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, we thank you that we're able to gather here today and praise the Lord, hear your word, worship you. Teach us today, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds and remove all distractions. We need you. We need your help, Lord. We pray you would speak to us clearly and that we would receive what you have for us. Thank you for this privilege. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do count it a privilege to be able to do this, to gather together in your homes as we present this message today. It's so wonderful that God has provided a way to do this in our day and age, isn't it? I'd like to just share a couple of things with you. First of all, we're now meeting Wednesdays, live streaming just like we are on Sundays. Join us this week, this Wednesday, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 17, this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. The topic in that text is submission, submission to government. And we happen to be in that area of Scripture, 1 Peter 2, which talks about submission to government, submission to your masters, wives to husbands, and it goes on and on. And we encourage you to join us as the first part we cover is submission to government. What does God have to say? We know a lot of people are wondering what to do today as far as gathering together. Well, we believe we are to submit to our authorities, and we'll see what God has to say. Also, if you would like to listen to any of our messages from the previous 2 years, actually, midweek or Sunday, you can get them on our website, cclf.com. That's cclf.com, and you can click on any of the messages you'd like to hear. And at this time, let's pray. Pray for the church and over the offerings today. God, we thank you for providing for this church, for us to be able to continue on with your work. We pray over these offerings today. We thank you for those that support this ministry and pray you bless them. We pray that you open doors of opportunity, Lord, to reach people in our community and around the world. We pray that you would give us wisdom in dispersing what's given. We want to be using everything for the kingdom of God, Lord. Help us to do that. And we pray that we're good and faithful servants, and we are useful. So we just ask you to control things that happen here at Calvary Chapel Lake Forest. Bless the people that attend here and those that are listening. And we do pray for our nation, for our world, Lord, that you would be merciful and gracious to us. We pray that in your timing, you would remove this virus, that you would perform a miracle, that you would comfort those that have lost loved ones, that you would heal the sick, and that you would protect us from getting it, Lord. We need your help. You are our physician. We turn to God. You tell us to pray, and we're praying, Lord, that you would give us mercy and grace and somehow end this, Lord, in your timing and in your way. And we thank you for the great work you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to have our responsive reading in John chapter 5. We're going to verses 19 to 24. And I will do the odd-numbered verses and ask you to do the even-numbered verses as we go through verse 24. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner.
For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel.
For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will.
For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son.
That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him.
Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life."
Thank you, Lord. Make these words alive now. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. A most important message. Who is Jesus? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, before we start. Who is Jesus? Matthew 16, verse 13. We read in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter knew who he was. This is the one thing that Peter got right. Jesus is not just a prophet or a teacher or a man of God going around doing good. He has to be more than that, or our faith does not do us any good. This week, we're going to read of his power and authority and his equality with God. Next time, as we continue in John, his execution and judgment and the resurrection. Our faith is based on the fact that Jesus is God. We believe in the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one Godhead. It is of utmost importance that we believe and know that Jesus is God, so that he qualifies to be the sacrifice for our sin, as we'll see. Jesus was telling people, as we studied last week, who he was, and the Jews knew exactly what he was saying. When we read verse 18 in John chapter 5, "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." That's why they sought to kill him. So Jesus is now going to explain of his power and authority because he is God. So in verse 19, he starts talking about his power being equal with God. Verse 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Most assuredly, it's actually verily, verily. In other words, listen to this truth. Emphatic. And Jesus spoke with authority. He is claiming here in verse 19, his works are the Father's works. I do his works, Jesus says, God's works here on earth. In other words, he's here on earth doing God's works because he is God. And he's saying, I work in cooperation with God the Father and not contradicting the Father. What I do is his work. I'm not independent. He works in cooperation with God the Father. I do what I see the Father do. He sees the Father work. He has access to the Father. Jesus sees all. And no mere man can see God, but he does. And what the Father does, in verse 19, the Son does. He wanted them to know he was God, doing the work of God here. The healings which we've read about, the healing on the Sabbath which we just read about, God the Father, that was the God the Father's work. Jesus is doing the work of God here at this time. In John 14, verse 1, he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. And we know the rest of that. In my Father's house are many mansions. We can't wait to get there. He just healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. That was God's work. And so in verse 19, he's speaking of the power to heal. And that is the God's work. It's the power of God. And he's equal in power with the Father. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. The Father shows the Son all things, and he will be shown greater works than the healing of this man on the Sabbath. The Son, with the power of God, will do them, and you will marvel. Jesus will raise the dead. That's greater than the healing, raising the dead. He himself will rise from the dead because he is God and he has power of God. Verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. So the Father raises the dead, gives them life. So does the Son give life to whom he will. So Son Jesus has this power, this life power. You see, God has power over death and life. And only God can give life because he's the giver of life. And a giver of eternal life. He controls life. God does. And Jesus can give life because he is God. That's why it's important to believe in Jesus. Because he gives life. There is no eternal life in heaven apart from Jesus. Life was created by God. God rules. And God can raise the dead. And God gives eternal life. And we'll read in future times in John how he gives life to the dead. He's going to raise the dead. I love Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Let's turn there. Genesis 2, verse 7. At creation, the final creation here in Genesis 2, verse 7, we read, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Can you picture that? What a movie that would make. Creation. I often wondered why we don't see movies on creation. Can you imagine that? God forms this figure of a man out of the dust of the earth, still not alive, but forms this body from all the things in the dust of the ground. And he personally, literally, breathes into the man's nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living being. Isn't that an amazing thing? God created man out of the dust of the earth. How wonderful. God has that power. And Jesus is God and has this power. So Jesus is teaching these Jews the truth that he is the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. And he encourages people to believe in him. So Jesus has all power. The next part we read about is Jesus showing he has all authority. Jesus speaks of his authority being equal with God. Verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father, and he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So we see in verse 22 and 23, the Father is leaving judgment to the Son. The judgment of sin. And only God can judge. So if he leaves judgment to the Son, Jesus is God. Because he leaves that part of his work, judgment, to the Son. One must have all knowledge in order to judge righteously. They must be omniscient, know everything to judge righteously. Know all the facts, all the details, what a person did with their life to be able to judge properly. Therefore, Jesus is omniscient. And the Bible teaches us God is the one that's omniscient, that knows all things. Therefore, Jesus is showing them he is God. We'll see how important it is to, we're going over this so that we can share with others why it is so important to believe in Jesus as opposed to any other faith. We'll see in a little while, that he must be God. He must be God, and that's the difference in our faith. You see, one will be judged on what they do with the Son, Jesus. Life and death is all to do with Jesus. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 21. 1 John chapter 2, verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, and he's writing to Christians here, but because you know it, you know the truth, and that no lie is of the truth. But who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Do you see what he's saying here? If one doesn't have Jesus, they don't have a relationship with God. Because if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. People say, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you don't believe in God of the Bible if you don't believe in Jesus. Because if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father, because they're one. So it eliminates all those that say, well, I believe in God, but I don't agree with Jesus. It tells us right here, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So that's pretty clear. You really may counter... You may count yourself as a good person and you believe in God, but you don't have what it takes to go and be with God because you don't have the Son, Jesus. One must have Jesus in their life. That's who life is based on, Jesus. Jesus has the authority to judge man. Let's turn to Acts 17, verse 31. Acts 17, verse 31. Acts 17, verse 31. We read here, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. God is going to judge the world in righteousness by who? By the man whom he ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. They're going to be judged by Jesus, who God has ordained to do the judgment. He's the one who was raised from the dead. The judgment is by Jesus. Verse 23 in our text, John chapter 5. So we see he's committed all judgment to the Son. Why? That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. And he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Also, if you don't honor the Son, you're not really honoring God the Father. You must have Jesus. You're believing in a false religious system if you don't have the Son. Because we read right here that you should honor the Son just as you honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. Honor is to be given to God. The Father and the Son are equal, therefore you must honor the Son. If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. If you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, you're really not honoring God. So Jesus is showing his power and his authority equal with God. And they knew he was claiming to be God because they wanted to kill him for that. So no one could say, well, Jesus never claimed to do that, to be that. Yes, he did. That's why they wanted to kill him. They understood clearly what he was saying here. They wanted to kill him for that. It is important that a person know that Jesus is God, and we'll see that in a moment. The attack today is on the deity of Jesus Christ. That's the attack today. Why? Because it's truth, and Jesus is the way to heaven. The enemy does not want people to go to heaven. Satan desires to fill up hell. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies, it tells us. People say, I believe in God, or I believe in a higher power, or I believe there's something there. Well, the question is, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as the Son of God? You must. The attack today is against this basic Christian foundational truth in order to keep people away from God. We Christians have a Savior, one who died for us so we could go to heaven. We know that in the last days, there would be one world unified religious system. We see that in Revelation 17. A harlot, one committing spiritual fornication, will exist, and they will be judged. It will be a religion, not a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus, our faith. It will be based on emotion and not the Word of God or the Holy Spirit. People are very emotional, shallow, and Satan works on people's emotions. We call that the flesh. People follow the emotions and the flesh straight to hell spiritually. Religious people, cults, even in some so-called Christian circles, the deity of Christ is attacked. They will tell you he's a created being, some of these people, that he's not the Son of God, that he isn't God. Why? Because that's the core of truth of Christianity. That's what separates true Christianity from all other faiths or movements. Jesus is forgiveness of sin. And sin must be removed in order for this corrupted being to become incorrupted and enter heaven, to become righteous. You see, people love unification. It makes them feel better if everyone agrees with you. Don't you like it when people agree with you? It's kind of difficult when they don't. It gets a little testy. But boy, when everybody agrees with you, you can say, I love this group of people. Man, we all agree. The problem is, if you're following emotion and you like that warm and fuzzy feeling, many times people will follow a lie. There's a big push to accept all faiths. All faiths. We all believe in a God or a higher power. We're all the same. What is there to accept? If we truly love one another and others, we Christians must share the truth with others so they go to heaven and don't die in that false faith. You see, it's up to us, even if we stand alone at times, to stand for the Word of God and truth. Jesus is God, and He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through Him. That's what He says. If you live and believe in Me, you'll never die. You see? I am very intolerant when it comes to religion, because I knew what religion was like, and I wasn't born again. And I wondered why they lied to me or didn't tell me the whole truth. You know, all of us as Christians have a little knowledge of what hell is like and what heaven is like. And I don't want people to be deceived and go to hell and suffer eternally. Jesus saves, not religion. Religion doesn't save. Jesus saves. A denomination doesn't save. Jesus saves. A pastor doesn't save. Jesus saves. Jesus said, follow Me. There's one way. When we follow Jesus, we're following God, because Jesus is God. Years ago, I once watched part of a funeral service on television. A little girl was murdered. It was held in a Christian church, one where they had a cross, one where the blood of Jesus hopefully is preached. And yet, gathered there were Buddhists, Muslims, Christian Scientists, and representatives of all kinds of faith. It was an interfaith service. And many would get up and speak about nothingness, no hope, no future, no, just about the person being good. And it is a sad thing when people die. But we need to tell the truth at funeral services. You see, they can be very emotional and appealing and awfully misguiding the public. How tragic. Much of it was lies, because it was apart from Jesus. We all don't believe the same thing. We all don't have the same God of the Bible that we follow. Christianity, true Christianity, is the truth. It's not that we lord ourselves over others or feel we're better than others. We've been saved by grace. We're wretched sinners, but saved by grace, no better than anyone else. But we do have the truth. We know the truth, and we need to share that truth with others and not compromise in emotional times. True love will share truth. In John 5:23, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. You see, we need to honor the Son just like God the Father. In the last days, we're told in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, there will be a form of godliness, but denying its power. There'll be a form of religion or godliness, but no power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus. And it tells us people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There is that form taking place now. And when you see emotional services or people speaking from other beliefs about how we're one and how they feel we're all okay, it can be very emotional. And people would love everyone to be arm in arm singing Kumbaya and feel we're all okay. Jesus came to tell us we're not okay and we need Him. We need Him. We need Him for forgiveness of sins, to create in us a new life, a new creature. See, We want to be fed by the Spirit, not by emotions. They wanted to kill Jesus for claiming that. People still today don't love to talk about Jesus. My Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, is God. And to be honored that way, worshiped that way, not using his name in vain. And he has the power and authority of God. And he is to be honored as God. Jesus Christ claimed to be equal with God. That's why they wanted to kill him. They knew what he was saying. Let's turn to Matthew 26, verse 63. Matthew 26, verse 63. Matthew 26, verse 63. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witness? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. They knew what he was saying, that he is God. John chapter 10. Get back into the book of John. John chapter 10. Verse 30. John chapter 10, verse 30. Look what Jesus states here in John 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. Do you think they understood him? People look at this verse and say, well, he didn't really mean that. Do you think they understood him? Look at the next verse. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. I think they understood what he was saying because they took up stones to stone him. And then Jesus answered, many, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you being a man, make yourself God. You think he said it? I believe he said it, because they said that's what he said. They knew what he was saying. You know, in Colossians 1, it tells us he's the image of the invisible God in Colossians 1. He's the image of the invisible God. Now, we'll get to the point here. Why is it important? So we asked the question at first, who is Jesus? And now we get to the question, why is it important to believe Jesus is God? Well, number one, because it's true. And the Bible says that. If you believe in the Bible, you believe Jesus is God. Secondly, because Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And what was that will or that work? To seek and to save that which was lost. That was his one purpose for coming to this earth. Not to be a great teacher, a great leader, a great prophet, all these things he was. And we're blessed to have his sayings in the Gospels. But he came, the work he came to do was to seek and to save that which was lost, you and me. That's why he came. John the Baptist said of him, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He came so that our sins could be forgiven. You could have a new life, start at ground zero again and start building a new life and know that you're going to heaven. No one else will forgive you like Jesus will. Your sins are cast away, washed away. You're a new creature in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe you look at your life and you say, I wish I could start all over. I think all of us could say, I wish I could do that over again or not do that over again. Jesus is the way to do that. He says you can become a new creature, start all over, a new life in Christ, a new creature. It's important to believe Jesus is God because he became that sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament that was offered up for sin. The lamb had to be without spot or blemish because Jesus wasn't always like us except without sin. If he was a mere man, the Bible says all have sinned and the wages of sin is death. in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If he were man, mere man, he would have been sinner, would have been a sinner. But he wasn't. God was his father, not Joseph. He became that sacrificial lamb. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Maybe the next time cults come knocking at your door, preaching not against the deity of Christ, you can have this message on your phone. Say, hey, do you have a minute to listen to what I have to say? And start playing it for them. They'll probably leave your house alone for the rest of your life. So Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 14. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. Don't you love that? Once for all. Having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh like it did in the Old Testament, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Wow, Jesus did it once for all. Believe it. 1 Peter 1, please. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here on fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by the tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Your faith and your hope are in God's work, not your own. If Jesus were not God, he would be a prophet, a teacher, a good man, but also with sin and not qualified to be your sacrifice. But he was God, and he is without spot or blemish. That's why it is so important to believe that he is God, because a mere man would not have qualified to sacrifice for your sin. The good news is he is God, and we are forgiven, Christian. We have a sacrifice, a Savior. And his coming to the earth was prophesied hundreds of years earlier, and being born in Bethlehem and other things. And even in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it calls him Mighty God, Counselor. Did you catch that? In that text we see on Christmas cards, it says, he is, unto us a child is born. He is Mighty God. He is. Honor Jesus as God. In this last verse in John 5, most assuredly, which means verily, verily, hey, listen up. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. The Lord says, listen, pay attention, hear my words. Why? Because they're important words for you. You know, you might be listening to this message or some other pastor or reading the Bible or hearing some other person share these verses. It can get boring after a while, maybe. Hey, listen to God. He says, verily, verily, listen up. Listen to me. Look at the words that the person is sharing. Believe. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Trust and cling to, rely on him. And in 1 John 3:14, it says, we know we're saved because we're changed. We have love one for another. 1 John 3:14. So hear and believe that you have everlasting life. You shall not come into judgment if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you believe he is God, the Son of God, come to this earth. You have passed from death to life. You will not come into judgment. Read more about that next week. But you will not come into judgment. You won't have to go to court. Maybe you've got an outstanding ticket or a parking ticket or a speeding ticket. Wouldn't it be nice if you got a message, a text, or a letter? You don't have to come to court. It's been forgiven. Wow. You and I are forgiven. We don't have to face the judgment throne. Now, it says, has everlasting life, verse 24. He has everlasting life, who believes in him, who sent me, has everlasting life. Everlasting, the word speaks of quantity. Quantity. Never ends. Everlasting. The word life speaks of quality. You have a never-ending good life. Everlasting life really means you have a quantity of life never-ending and a great quality of life, meaning a good life in heaven with God. Isn't that wonderful? In the right place you're going to end up. You have this. You notice he who believes in him who sent me has everlasting life? Has. That's present tense. It means the instant you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have it. You have your reservation. And no one can erase it or bump you out of there. And the place never gets full. You'll go. You have it. He has it. That's why Jesus said in John 11, 25 and 26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. We don't have to wait till we die to see where we're going to go. In 2 Corinthians 5, 8, Paul writes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we die, we just move. They shouldn't put us in the obituaries. They should have another place for those who have moved, for those that go to heaven. So-and-so went to heaven today. Their place is up for sale. They don't need it anymore. You should have a place for that. We will not stand before the judgment seat. My knees would be shaking if I knew I had to stand before God on judgment day and be judged, the great white throne judgment. We're innocent. We have everlasting life. We pass from death to life. So we end with, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Next week, more on the judgment and resurrection. And join us Wednesday, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 17, where we get into submission and submission to government. God, we thank you for your word today. We pray that you would take this word and speak to hearts. And Lord, if there's someone out there that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we would pray today that these words hit home and they would surrender to you. Maybe they're a churchgoer, not a churchgoer, heard the Bible, the verses needed, maybe never heard anything from the Word of God. Good people, bad people, Jesus came for all because we're all sinners and the wages of sin is death. If you're in one of those categories that you haven't received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity right now. I'll say a little prayer. Mean this prayer in your heart. Respond to God's work in your life. Mean it. Reach out to God and he'll answer your prayer. Just repeat this, but believe it in your heart. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner. I am sorry that I have sinned against you. I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you for sending Jesus to this earth. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and the Savior. I believe he died on that cross to bear my sin and pay for it in full. So I now ask Jesus to come into my life and take over. I believe he died for me. And I thank you so much, Lord, for loving me that much. I now believe that you've entered in. Give me your power, your strength to live the life of a Christian. Give me a hunger and thirst for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your great love and the work you've done. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, guide me in truth, and bless me. And I pray that I now will bless you. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen.